Morning Bunker here at Area 52. Pastor Mike here, and I'm online, and I am very much alive with you today. I got an email, changed my whole perspective of things. I'll tell you what I mean in a little bit. First of all, I want to take care of this. Our beloved sister who loves and enjoys this insane heat down in Phoenix, Arizona, Ariel. She has been a part of our work and our labor for several years. She helped Jazz and assist her in writing up some of the details of the various postings we make and so on. It will be her birthday on Saturn's Day. You know what? In the email she sent me, she didn't tell me how old she was going to be. I don't know why. I don't know why women won't tell you how old they're going to be. Anyway, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. Now, let me do this. If you remember last Thursday, I was dealing with the numerical significance of things in the Bible. Bible numbers, Bible counting. Are numbers important in the Bible? Are they relevant to studying the Bible? Some say, no, that's a cult of numerology, and you're practicing divination and all this stuff. And at one time, I would have agreed with that. But you just look in the Bible, and God does things in a pattern. He does them in order. It could be said, you can count on God. Think about it. Think about how numbers reflect God. Give you an example. The Bible says that God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think about the static, what am I trying to say here? The way numbers don't change. That would have been an easier way. I was trying to use $20 words. I should use them 50 cents words that I have a lot of. Numbers don't change. 2 plus 2 has always been 4, will always be 4, and it doesn't matter what part of the world you go to, 2 plus 2 is going to equal 4, period, the end. It's that way in China. It's that way in the United States, with the exception of those schools who are doing Common Core. But 2 plus 2 is 4. It's not altered anywhere. The Mandela effect cannot change what 2 plus 2 is. All right? God doesn't change. Numbers don't change. There is no end to numbers. There is no end to how far numbers or how high numbers can be counted. There's no end to that. You keep going to go from tens to hundreds to thousands to hundred thousands to millions to billions to trillions. It sounds like the national debt to what's after trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion, octillion. There is no end to how far numbers can go. And if you want to just blow some circuits in your brain here, consider this. The Bible says that we are compassed with an innumerable company of angels, which basically says that angels cannot be numbered. There are so many angels that you would never reach the end of counting them. That's what innumerable means. It's like us looking at a stadium full of people and somebody saying, how many people's here? And you're looking at them, you're going, oh, I don't know. I can't count that many people. No, we can't. We couldn't do that. Angels are an innumerable company. There is no end to their number. And yet God not only knows how many there are, He has a name for every single one of them, and He knows how to divide them into thirds. Exactly. Because Revelation 12 tells us that the dragon's tail takes one third of an innumerable number. One third and cast it down to the earth. How much is one third of an innumerable number? And consider that anyway, because one third as a decimal or even as a percent is a repeating decimal. One third is 0.33333333333. When does that end? And yet God knows in an innumerable amount of angels, he knows their names and he knows how to divide them up one third to two thirds. That's how, when God said, as far as the heavens are above you, that's how high my thoughts are above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. By the way, this, I'm going to say it. I don't want to be mean to people, but it doesn't work. The flat earth model with the sun being 3,000 miles over the flat surface of the earth, which, by the way, that sun never goes down and it never comes up ever, ever, ever in that model. That's not very high. That's not a very high God as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, moving on. Numbers, and by the way, you can go into negative numbers. And how far back into the negative realm can you go with numbers? The same distance that you can with positive numbers. There is no end. Either way, eternity doesn't have a beginning and it doesn't have an end. And numbers don't have a beginning and they don't have an end. They just keep going and going and going and going. And that is who God is. So God is a God of order. God is a God of math. God is a God who set the entire universe into an order, into motion. And that order can be counted. And the things that God does can be counted. God wrote it into the law that the Israelites were supposed to do this for this many days. Their feast times were held on a certain day. And then they were to be held for exactly like 7 days. And then on the eighth day, they was to do this. And then, you know, so on and so. And so God has numbers all through the Bible, and to say that those numbers are insignificant, or, well, you can make too much of that, I don't want to offend, but I would say in its truest sense, that would be a statement of ignorance. And I don't use that in a derogatory sense. I'm saying that to ignore numbers and their symbolic meaning in the Bible, and I was very, very careful when writing the two books that I wrote, the King James Code and By Divine Order, and then making the King James Code video series. I was very careful that if I said the number 6 means this, then I'm going to give you scripture, 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 scripture that says the same thing. So with the number 7, you're dealing with perfection and completion. You're dealing with a spirit, the 7 spirits of God. I'm going to pick this up from where we were last Thursday, because I came in as usual, not really knowing what to talk about during Pastor Mike Online, and I love it that way. Because that way I'm not jammed into something, and it just comes out. This stuff that's in me that I know that I've seen over the years, it just comes out, and I love doing it that way. I'm spending a lot of time right now. If you are trying to get my attention on something, either by calling or writing emails or whatever, I'm telling you right now, and those of you who know, July is my preparation for homecoming. And I'm spending a lot of time all day yesterday doing nothing but working on teachings for homecoming. And this morning, I knew I had to schedule my time in order to prepare for PMO today. But I spent studying in depth something that I've only hinted at or touched on lightly in the last several years. And I can tell you, and I'm going to go ahead and share with you what's coming up for homecoming. Number one, a continuation of the King James Code series, and I will be dealing with the number 10 and its prophetic significance, its the significance that it has in the Bible, what it mean, what does that number mean? And if I say that it means jellyfish, then I have to be able to show you 10 verses where the number 10 means jellyfish. It doesn't mean jellyfish. I don't even think jellyfish are in the Bible. But anyway, but I'll show you what it means, and I'll show you what significance it has. And then what I like to do, and this is what we're going to do today, what I like to do is take that number and show you how God uses it. I mean, he gave us 10 commandments, right? Why not 9? Why not 8? Why not 11, 12? Why 10? Why did there have to be 10 commandments? What does that mean? Why do we have 10 toes, 10 fingers? Okay. So I show you God's significance of it, how God uses it, how God teaches us things. If you see 10 people who have leprosy, what does that mean? If Nabal has a stroke and he's laying there for 10 days, his heart is turned to stone, what does that mean? And then we turn it upside down because the beast has how many horns? 10. Why? What does it mean? And why do these make war with the lamb? And why is it the lamb won? That's what we're going to be looking at. And then this morning, I've got the note on my desk downstairs. I can't remember right now who sent this to me, but I got sent a book called Living Yoga. And I started looking at that, and I thought, you know, I've never really done just this in-depth study on yoga. And I'm telling you, I am like, I don't know, maybe 20% into this book, and I'm like busting out with the notes on this thing. And I'm telling you, yoga is from the pits of hell. It is everything to do with, how can I say this accurately? Because I just started making the notes today. But the notes that I made was, we know that the fourth kingdom is going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. How are they going to do that? How is that going to happen? Yoga and its teachings carry with it how man is going to connect with the universal consciousness, the universal enlightenment, the universal soul, the universal self. All of these are code names for guess who? The man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God. Think about it. Showing himself that he is God. I'll give you a word to study. You've heard me mention this. Yoga means connection, but its literal meaning is yoked. You are going to be yoked with something. You take that word and go through your King James Bible, because that's what we're going to do. Anyway, that's coming up at our homecoming, and I'm spending a lot of time doing the research, doing the study. I want to be right in what I say. I don't want to just come off with half-crazy ideas, all right? So anyway, you keep praying for us, and if you are trying to get my attention on something, keep it up, all right? I appreciate it. Now, getting back to what we were talking about Thursday, I had several of you comment and say, Pastor, that was great, awesome, and I had actually thought about continuing it today, and then I got an email, and I'm going to continue it today because of the email. You see, it never clicked. When I came here Thursday, I looked at the date, and it was July 7th. It was actually on the bottom of your Windows. I'm using Windows 10 here. On the bottom of the Windows screen, lower right-hand corner, it says 7/12/2016. On Thursday, it said 7/7, and I went, I know that date. Why don't I do something on the number 7? And so that's what got me going. I kept checking Drudge Report intermittently, you know, kind of putting everything together. And then even after the program on Thursday, I was looking at the Drudge Report. Why? Because they're always quick with the headlines. What's going on today? What's happening in the world around us? Because there is this possibility that on this date, something of some significance is going to happen. Now, why would I say that? Because creatures, let's look at the animal realm for a minute. I deer hunt every year, mostly unsuccessfully. My dad was a lot better at it. But there is some measure of knowledge that I have about deer season. I kind of know where to be. I saw a spot here a couple years ago, and I'm going, that just looks like a good spot. And it has been. I just hadn't been able to get a clear shot. But anyway, the deer just walking through here. But what happens in November? What happens at this time of year? Why did the state of Missouri put deer season at this time of year? Because deer move in November. Why do they move? Because it is their rut. It is the mating season. Does are in estrus. Bucks are in rut. Their horns are real nice and shiny, and they're ready to fight other bucks. And if you are a buck killer, in other words, you want to kill a buck, you see a doe just kind of prancing across the field, you just wait a couple minutes. There's going to be a buck right on her tail. And guys that hunt know that. Why do we know that? It's because they even the animal kingdom has an order to it. They do things on certain days, at certain seasons. That's how God created it. This is how I believe that you and I can get a glimpse into this spiritual realm and understand how devils work, because they're beasts. The dragon is a beast. The serpent is a beast. Dogs, goats, eagles, owls, satyrs, all of these animals mentioned in the Bible, there is a spiritual counterpart to this. And these things all have seasons and times and things that draw them. Foxes have holes and birds have nests. They have a nature to them. And I can tell you that when it comes to certain dates, when it comes to certain locations, when it comes to certain let's say you have to face east, and then you have to face north and south and west, and you have to, that's what witchcraft does. Witchcraft says in order to get the four elements to unlock what you want to do, you've got to call to the four elements, to the four corners, to the four, high holy days, the equinoxes and the solstices, and you have to combine the four elements, and you have to, and all this related to the number four. But what I'm saying is that these devils, these spirits that are all about witchcraft, they operate on certain principles, certain numeric principles, certain seasonal principles. Aleister Crowley built the Bolskine House on Loch Ness. Maybe it had something to do with he knew that there was some kind of creature in there or whatever, Leviathan or something like that. But anyway, he builds this house and he spends a lot of time placing it in the right direction. And he's, because he's going to do rituals in this house. And then, who was it? Jimmy Page or one of the guys from, Led Zeppelin bought the house, moved into it, was writing songs out of it because their spirits were there. They have certain habitations. There are certain days where spirits operate. And I can tell you, I was listening. This is before it clicked today. I was watching the news this morning, and they were talking about the Dallas shooter, the sniper there in Dallas, killing all those cops and everything like that, and all those people out there. And they said that, you know, and they were talking to his parents, and I felt bad for them because, you know, you raise a child, you don't want him on the news for killing and raping people. That's not what you want as a parent. So they're bawling their eyes out and they can't understand. But they said, you know, we sent him off to fight for his country and he was all good. He comes back. He had got a dishonorable discharge because of, some kind of sexual thing he got busted up for. So when he comes back, they said, he's not the same. Very reclusive, very, that just wasn't him. They knew it. They knew it wasn't him. Now, there are some people on the internet who are going to jump on that. And I was thinking that this morning. I said, oh my goodness, here it comes. You know, the Alex Jones crowd, they're going to say, that's a CIA monarch mind control program. That's how you can tell these people. All these people are working for the CIA. I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't. And you know what? The people who are the loudmouths like me, who say that stuff. You know what? They don't know it either. They don't know it. They make it up. They make it up. And when you go to their website, you can see all the ads. They're on the side of their articles and their video blogs and things like that because they want you to go to their website so they can get paid for it. So they'll come up with this stuff. Yeah, CIA, Monarch, butterfly mind control, programming. He was in the military, for crying out loud. The Defense Department got him, and they worked on his brain. And here's my theory. Isn't it easier? And isn't it more in the way of provable that instead of this guy with electrodes sticking to his skin with his feet in a bucket of water and them zapping him and so they could get his brain washed and then feeding, you know, certain things into his brain that on a certain day when somebody says some secret word or something like that, he snaps and he goes into this sniper thing. Isn't it easier to believe that this guy had a devil that just took him over? Isn't it easier, especially if you believe the Bible? Now, see here, I can open the Bible up and I can say, according to documented evidence that I have in hand, Ephesians 2, this guy had devils manifesting in him, through him. And I don't have any doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that he did what he did because of a spirit, or could be seven of them, or whatever. I have written documentation. I have proof. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He qualifies. He was booted out of the military for disobedience, sexual harassment, or something like that. I have documented evidence. I think that's what happened to him. And so I get an email today from Gus. God's blessings. Greetings, dear pastor. I pray all is well with you, and thank you for the work you have been chosen to do on behalf of God's kingdom. I appreciate that. Was listening to a news clip on Dallas shooting and heard that it was near where President Kennedy was shot. Think about it. I have a picture for you. And the date was 7/7. Any significance? Cue the music. Absolutely. And I just went, how did I? Because I had been looking at the computer screen before and after PMO Thursday going, is anything going to happen today? When is going to happen again? Why? Because this is already, there is already precedent for events taking place on this particular day, or here we go, at this location, because I saw the map where the shootings took place. And I can tell you, this has got spirit all around it. Now, you would say, oh, Illuminati, Freemasonry. Yes. But those are just the human groups where these spirits nest. We are not wrestling with a 33rd degree Mason. That's not who our fight is with. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling against, and we are warfaring against, spirits. Bad ones. Worse than any CIA monarch butterfly program that you can dream up. We're dealing with spirits that are far more evil and far more capable of doing these things. Let me, and I'll put this up on my blog. I'll post it on Facebook. I'll put it on the Pastor Mike Online Facebook page, facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. If you do not have these, here's some books and videos for you to get. The King James Code, I wrote it. By divine order, I wrote that one. We have those in book form. Call here or write us. Let's see here. info@kingjamescode.org. kingjamescode@gmail.com. That's an easy one. Get those two books. Get all the DVDs that are associated with that. So far, I've made it up through the number 9. Number 9. Remember? And I will be doing the number 10 during homecoming. Get all of those DVDs. Get the Babel Conspiracy, both the book and the video. Get another DVD called The Beast of 9/11. Get that one. All of these show you the symbolism behind the numbers, and then they show you how these numbers are seen and operated by in the occult realm. The importance here is the Bible is the key to unlock everything. Let me show you something. You guys have been sending me some pretty cool stuff here in the last couple of days, and I mucho apreciado it, okay? Which is Spanish for much apreciado. Here is, there was an article in here about the CRISPR gene machine, and I took some notes on it, went through it this morning, but there was an advertisement in here for some sort of lung cancer new medication that sparks the immune system to get it going. The name, the marketing name of this medicine is called Keytruda, and I want you to notice the logo there is that of a green and a black part of the Y fusing together, and there is a key in there. All right, you see that? Okay, there's a key. It makes a key. This is the key now to unlocking your lung cancer health or whatever it is. This is the key to curing your lung cancer. All you have to do is think of, let's see, are there keys in the Bible? Does God ever use the word key in the King James Bible? So that's all you got to do, okay? They speak a language. They speak a language that most people don't understand. It's the language of symbols. If you want to know what those symbols are, the key to understanding the key to, if you want to read Morals and Dogma and understand what he's talking about, you read and understand the Bible first, then you read Morals and Dogma. If you want to read Secret Teachings of All Ages, understand the Bible first, then, and believe the Bible. Believe every word in it. Because in this book are all the hidden things that man, the Illuminati, devils, Mystery Babylon, you get her name now, Mystery Babylon. It's all the things that she wants to keep secret. She wants to keep covered up. She wants it hush hush. She wants to sit on the camel's furniture there and cover up the idols that she stole. Remember that story? She's sitting there and she says, well, I can't get up now because I'm sort of in my, you know. Which means she's an unclean woman sitting on these things, covering it up, covering up this idol that's hidden down in this chest. Do you get that? That's her. And everything that they want to cover up, God says, looky here. It's right. Looky here. It's right here. It's right here in the pages of this Bible. It is, this Bible is, it reveals everything that you and I need to know. If you want to waste your time reading the Book of Enoch, be my guest. You just be better, just read your Bible, because you'll get way more out of it, all right? And it'll cost you a lot less. All right, let me go back to dealing with this here. We're going to kind of pick it up where we left off last Thursday. On, if we're going to understand what this significance of 7/7, you remember the London train bombings? Was that 2005? I got up that day. Lisa and I were headed over here to the church, and I got up and I'm watching this, you know, on the news as I was tying my shoes. I'll never forget it. Sitting in my living room, and I'm going, "What date is it? 7/7? Really?" something significant. Anyway, I cover that. And all the DVDs and the books that I mentioned, you can call right here. 636-937-3233, 636-931-3999. Go to any of our websites. It's there. Go to propheticresearchministry.com. Fill out an order form, and you can get those. We ask, because of our expenses, we ask if you can help us out with it, all right? Maybe you can and somebody else can't, because we have several people on our mailing list that they can't afford anything. But there are some who can, who always throw in a little extra, and that helps us get it to the people that can't. All right. It helps us with, you know, doing what we do in Kenya and everything like that too. So we appreciate it. So just, you know, just kind of think of us that way, and you ask God and God will help you. All right. Anyway, let me show you this. We're going to understand the number seven. We're going to get what this is. And I want you to think along these terms, because we left off on this last Thursday, dealing with the lineage of Jesus, and we noted that it's a combination of two numbers, 6 and 7. Think about the number 6. I was reading 1 Timothy this morning. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. I can't remember all of it, but even if there's 6 things there, and they all go to God being manifested in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh. You can see that as the meaning of the number 6. If you go to Genesis 6, you see a perversion of that. The sons of God mating with the daughters of men, bringing forth these hybrid giants, which are the absolute opposite of who Jesus Christ was, is, and will be. So in the lineage here in Matthew 1, you have 14, 14, 14, which is 42, 7 times 6. But it's a multiple of the number 7. And it is who Jesus is. You have, let me do this here. Luke chapter 3, you have another lineage of Jesus. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. And then it goes all the way back to Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And you have 77 names in there. Now, let me show you a graph. Let me see if I... Oh, look at here. I pulled right up to it. I'm going to show you a picture. Okay? I want you to take a look at that. This is the map. This is why I bring this up, because of that number 77. Here is a map now of the Dallas shootings on 7/7. This is Dealey Plaza. This is where, right here, there's an X there in the street. It used to be. I think they took it out. This is where Kennedy was shot. By the way, let me run through this. In the myth of Freemasonry, of Hiram Abiff, Hiram Abiff is the one who has the secrets to building a temple. You know what that means? Rebuilding a temple? Hiram won't give it to these 3 workers that he has. And so the 3 workers smite Hiram once he's smitten in the throat. Another one smites him on the left breast. And the third one smites him in the head, and he dies. On November 22nd, 11/22, add them up, 33. Kennedy was shot first in the neck. Another shot goes, maybe it was the same shot, I don't know, but it ends up going through Connolly's left breast. The third shot was the head shot. It was like Hiram Abiff. But anyway, you see Dealey Plaza here. This is where the shootings took place, in the red zone here. JFK Memorial. You got to see that. It's called a cenotaph, which means empty tomb. And it's got like this weird fence around it made of 72 planks. Cue the music. Okay? I've been there. I took pictures of it. I counted it. I'm telling you, 72 planks there. And they're like raised up from the earth to give you the illusion that they're connecting, heaven and earth is converging in this one place at this empty tomb. Think about it. But anyway, right here, this is when it's taking place. Here's Dealey Plaza. Look at here. The street layout here makes an obelisk. Here's the head of the obelisk. And right here, this is where Kennedy's car was going. It was headed toward this highway right here, which now is called I-35, Interstate 35, but it's still designated as, get ready, Highway 77. And it was done on 77. Waco. Highway 77 runs through Waco. Highway 77 runs right close to the Murrah Building, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Is this a chance? Did this all just happen like this? No. I think that devils have habitations and they have certain places where they do things. That's what I think. Now, let me go, let's see if I can get back to, here we go. Understand this number, the number 7 or the number 77. Here's Jesus now coming directly from God. God creating Adam going all the way down to Jesus. All right, he is the Son of God through this lineage right here. The word church is mentioned 77 times. See the number there. 77th verse of the Bible. We talked about this Thursday. Let me move to this. 77th chapter of the Bible talks about the tabernacle of the congregation. The word Passover or Passover plural, 77 times. All the forms of the word baptize, 77 times in the King James Bible. The phrase in Christ, 77 times in your King James Bible. And you think that's an accident? You think it doesn't mean something? Let me share this with you. Remember when Jesus appeared to John, he had 7 stars in his hand and he was standing in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. He said the 7 stars and the 7 candlesticks are the 7 churches. What is the significance of it? The number 7, the 7 spirits of God. We'll look at that here in a little bit. The church has the Holy Spirit in them. And we have also the Spirit in the form of the Word purified 7 times. And I want you to ponder this. 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 candles. In Ephesians chapter 4, turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if I covered this the other day, I don't know if I have it coming up, but it just kind of fits and is relevant to what we're looking at right now. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice this, there's one body and one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. 7 things here that are united together. You and I, being the body, we are unified by one Spirit. We have one Lord, Jesus Christ. By the way, this is one of those places that speaks of the Godhead being 3 and yet 1. One body, one Spirit, capital S. One hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, take that, flip it upside down. You see, God's kingdom, God's people are ruled over by one head, Jesus Christ. So that when you have one head, you don't have a multiple personality disorder in the church, not the real church. You have Jesus directing the body what to do. The body, when the body needs assistance, the body seeks out the head, Jesus Christ. We don't. Much to the chagrin and disappointment of people like Rick Warren and Barack Obama and Billy Graham and all these others who say, well, we all worship the same God, don't we? We just call him different names. I think I'll pray to Buddha today. We don't do that. We don't have a God who has an identity disorder. We have one God, one Lord, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. We pray to one God only. Think of this messed up world. Think of the beast. How many heads does he have? 7. Which one dictates what direction the beast is going to go? In fact, the beast is so messed up. It's like a child's creation. a child. You give a child a box of crayons, you give him a blank piece of paper and say, draw the silliest looking animal that you can come up with. And I guarantee you they'll draw the beast in Revelation chapter 13. Seven heads and ten horns. And he's got the teeth of a lion. He's got the paws of a bear. And he's got the body of a leopard. And he's weird looking. But remember, his heads are divided. They're not together. A kingdom or a nation divided against itself. Which head is going to tell us what to do today? It's kind of like having a boss that's like a split personality. I wonder what guy we're going to get today. That's their religion. That's who these people pray to. That's who these people rely on. They're relying on the spirit of the Antichrist. Think about the seven spirits of God in Isaiah chapter 11. Every one of those spirits you'll find in one book, the King James Bible. One place. They all speak the same thing. They're all part and parcel of the same faith that you and I have, the same baptism, the same Lord. So when you think of the number seven and how it's, why is Highway 77 so significant? Why is this particular day 77? Why is that significant? Because that's how these beasts operate. Certain days, at certain times, facing certain directions, doing certain things. You know there's seven spirits of God, right? Do you know there's seven abominations? Think about it. Think about what that, and you know what one of the seven abominations is? Hands that shed innocent blood. Cue the music. They need some music. Chosen generation, peculiar people, seven times in the Bible. We are his workmanship seven times. That word is mentioned seven times in your Bible. The word witnesses, 49 times. Assembly, 49. Seven times seven. Bride, 14 times. First fruits, seven times in the New Testament. Fishers, I will make you what? Fishers of men, seven times. Kinsmen, seven times. How's that used? Think of the book of Ruth. Kinsman, redeemer. Daughter of Zion, 28 times, or Zion or Sion, doesn't matter which one, 28 times, 7 times 4. Daughter of Jerusalem, 7 times. Children of Israel, 644 times. It's a multiple of 7. Why? Because all of these denote the church or the congregation in some form. And in all of them, he has given them his spirit and his word. And ask them to trust him by the one faith. That's why these occurrences end up in seven or multiples of seven. Jesus sent out how many disciples? 70. Not 72 like the NIV and probably some other translations. I'm going to be researching that at some point. That number 72... highly significant. That JFK memorial with 72 planks has everything to do with Genesis 10 and the nations. All right? Can't get into it now. But the newer translations say that Jesus sent out 72, not 70. I smell a serpent here. Okay, I smell a dragon. A sulfur. It smells like sulfur. There's a dirty rat changing the Bible. Why? It's just like the CRISPR editing system. You change the DNA, you change the creature. That's what the Bible changes are all about, changing the creature. Kingdom of God, or Kingdom of Gods, with an apostrophe S, 70 times in the King James Bible. By the way, 10. 10 is a number for dominion. You're looking at a kingdom. First king and first kingdom mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 10. How did God rule over his people? 10 commandments. How did God get Israel from Pharaoh's rule? 10 plagues. When Joshua said, go stand on the necks of these kings, they put 10 toes on them. dominion. The kingdom of God or kingdom of God, there's one occur. The kingdom of God is mentioned 69 times. Kingdom of God, apostrophe S, one time, 70 times total. 7 times 10. 70th chapter of the Bible. Exodus 20, it's where the Ten Commandments are. Come on! This Bible is, it's right! It's in order, people! Go to Exodus 20 while I'm talking and count the number of words in verse 1. And then look at the verse. Don't just count the number. Look at what it says. Because there's some people out there, and I love you. And I know I got you counting stuff, and we got this software that'll count things for you. Guys, gals, listen to me. Don't just count the number. Read the verses. Okay? That's the whole purpose, is to get people excited about what's in that Bible. I won't say who it was. Got a call from a guy the other day. He said, "Brother Mike, that software you showed me, you just put it on my computer, you showed me how to use it." He said, "I sit for hours just studying things out of the Bible." And I went, "That's all I wanted. That's all I cared about." Okay? When you're counting this stuff in the Bible, when you're counting words, when you're counting phrases, when you're counting verses, whatever, read those verses. Okay? Or else the Word of God has none effect. If you know, "Oh, I know the number of that." Yeah, but let the Holy Ghost speak to you while you're doing that. All right? Anyway, king, the word king with a capital K, 70 times exactly, King James Bible. 70 times exactly. I told you to count. Did I tell you count the number of words in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1? "And God spake all these words, saying," 7 words, exactly. And I looked at that and I went, "Wow, that's cool. And it's 7, you know, in the 70th chapter." And then God said, "Now, Mike, do you believe that? Verse 1? And I knew what the Holy Ghost was getting at. Do I believe that as I'm reading that in my English Bible, do I believe that God spake all those words? And I told God, I have to. I have to. Your word is in authority over my mind and my thinking. And your word told me that you spoke those words that came out of your mouth. God, I don't have a choice but to believe what you said. Because the Bible is in authority over my thoughts and my mind. Unlike a lot of other preachers I know, their mind is the authority over the Bible, not the other way around. Speaking of the perfect word, 490th chapter of the Bible, that's 70 times 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver trod in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And now that, as I'm mentioning this, take these and flip them upside down. Think about what their opposite would be. There is a church with all these sevens all over it. The seven spirits, the one hope, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one Spirit, one God. There is a body of believers that are the body of Jesus Christ that has these sevens all in us. 7 with the Word, 7 spirits, you know. Jesus in Revelation 5 having 7 horns on his head. And he says those are the 7 spirits of God. How did Samson have his hair cut? Actually, he didn't have it cut. How did Samson have his hair hanging down? 7 locks. You know what they look like? 7 horns. And he was strong because of what? The 7 spirits of God. That's what those locks represented, the 7 spirits of God. Isn't that something? Look at that! Flip it upside down. There's one lamb with 7 horns. Those are the 7 spirits of God. Now you have one beast, but he's a conglomeration of the elements. Lions and leopards and dragons and terrible beasts. Think about it. And how many heads does he have? 7. How many abominations are there? 7. How many devils did Mary Magdalene have in her? 7. How many devils go into a swept house? That's what that number represents. There is a body of people on this earth that are acting out whatever the spirit of Antichrist commands them to act. And see, that is a whole lot, that is much easier to fathom and believe than to say that this shooter in Dallas on 7/7 was part of the Monarch CIA programming to start a race war in America and take away all the guns. See, it's just, and by the way, you can actually have a whole lot more evidence if you say and believe this guy had an unclean spirit, had seven of them. This man had an unclean spirit in him. You can actually, as you study your Bible, you can actually read and understand then what went on this day and why it happened at this day and at this place. Why? But see, that doesn't sell a lot of ad space on a website. That doesn't get a lot of hits. Because then this is not my idea. This is what thus saith the Lord is. Anybody can read this for free. Well, we can't have that. We got to have them come to our website so we get paid for it. I'm just saying, take this stuff down, flip it upside down. There's a body of people in this world that have the spirit of the Antichrist in them, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This guy was different for a reason. I don't know what he got involved in over in Afghanistan. Probably a little too much poppy, if you ask me, okay? But something he got into of a spiritual nature messed his head up. Now he's got spirits all in. He is a child of disobedience, and he's got spirits all in him, and they're unclean devils. The word of the Lord, 245 times in the Old Testament, 7 times 7 times 5. Lord of hosts, the exact same number of times. Would you look at that? The word of the Lord and the Lord of hosts, those two phrases, the exact same number of times in the Old Testament, the King James Bible. Okay? See, again, somebody's laying a penny down every 2 yards on the sidewalk. And after the fifth and sixth penny, you're going, this is not an accident. Somebody's doing this deliberately. Look at that. Look at that. The word faith in the New Testament of the King James Bible is found exactly 245 times. 7 times 7, which is 49, times 5. If you have faith, it's a grain of mustard seed. This Bible, thy word, that phrase in the New Testament, 7 times, sanctify them through thy... See, read the verse. Don't just oodle at the number. Oodle. Read the verse. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Guy writes a blog. Says he's got proof that the Dallas shooter, the Monarch CIA agent, crisis actor, some kind of stuff like that. He made that up. He invented that. He concocted that. And the only thing, and I love you guys. I love you. It's why we do what we do here. That's why I'm sitting here today. But it alarms me at the number of believers who say they believe the Word of God is absolute truth. And yet you fall for stuff like this. It's the internet equivalent of the National Enquirer. I used to... Mom, look at that. They found Bigfoot on the moon. Look at that. Son, that stuff's not real. They made that up. But Mom, look, they got a picture. They found Bigfoot on the moon. That's the stuff that's on the internet, National Enquirer type news. There are people who will latch on to that with little or no evidence whatsoever. can't get them re- and they'll spend hours watching these YouTube videos. How much Bible did you read today? How many chapters, verses? How long did you sit thinking about the Word of God today? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. 70 times in the King James Bible. Thus saith the Lord. Look at what it says. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Trust not in lying words, people. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, 70 times in a book that had been perfected. By the way, 1604 to 1611. 7 years. They spent purifying the translation of the Tyndale, the Wycliffe, the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Great Bible. Who else did they have? Luther. Not Lex Luther, Martin Luther. They took those former translations, they diligently compared and revised them, and they compared them to the original languages. And they purified through a series of peer-reviewed translating committees, one group reviewing the work of a previous group, and they purified that word, took them 7 years. And all of these phrases, these patterns, show up in your King James Bible. Thus saith the Lord of hosts 70 times, and it's in a word purified 7 times, which is in the 490th chapter, 7 times 7. By the way, that's how much we're supposed to forgive people's sins, and that's how many weeks and days there are going to be, and how God's going to forgive the 7 things that God's going to do in Daniel chapter 9. They all feed together. God spake all these words saying, see, there it is right there, 7 words. 70th chapter of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what? That phrase, the Word, capital W, 7 times in the King James Bible. 7 times. Now, if you take 1 John 5:7 out, which is what happens when you have a New American Standard, NIV, Holman Standard, English Standard, the New Living Translation, the Mess, Edge Bible, took it out. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called Yahushua, Yahashisha, Mashishak. No. It's called the Word of God. That's his name. You sacred name. By the way, I've been studying. Last week I was studying Kabbalah. This week I'm studying yoga. You know what I found out? Same thing. Because I'm studying yoga today. No, I'm not practicing yoga. I'm studying what they believe, what they teach. The reason why yoga has all these words in it, you have no idea what they mean. It's from the language of Sanskrit, and Sanskrit is essential to yoga. Because the teaching is Sanskrit is this sacred, holy language. That these words that they teach you must be pronounced and spoken as you meditate on the universal consciousness. You must speak these sacred words in Sanskrit. That sounds the exact same as the sacred name Hebrew roots people. Only theirs is Hebrew and not Sanskrit. It's just like the hocus pocus of the Latin liturgy in the Catholic Church. We must say the holy Latin words and turn the wafer into God. Anyway, his name is called the Word of God. That's Jesus. The phrase Word of God, 49 times, 7 times 7. By the way, he has another name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Glory, hallelujah. 7 words here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I didn't do that. I didn't make it. Francis Bacon did not do that. He could not have manipulated all of this in this Bible. No way. Somebody did it. Somebody did it. God did. Faith, 245 times, 49 times. I think that might be a New Testament. Let me do this here. Let me just make sure. Because if I say it, I want it to be right. So if I type in faith, 247 times, omit the Old Testament. There it is, 245 times. That's what I thought. 245 times faith is mentioned in the New Testament. Word of God, 49 times throughout the whole Bible. 7 times 7, faith. 7 times 7 times 5. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by how? The Word of God. And it's all based upon the seven spirits of God speaking through a seven times purified Word of God to give us a pure faith. Multiple of seven. For the time must come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Praise gospel of God is mentioned seven times. You know what the gospel of God is? It's the whole Bible. The gospel, what? You don't see the gospel in Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, Genesis. You don't see the gospel there? You don't see a prefiguring of Christ, typology of Jesus? You don't see a rock that Moses struck being Christ? You don't see that? The Passover? It's all that. The whole Bible is the gospel. Gospel of God, seven times. The phrase message. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. Message, seven times. Now, think about this. We know that the body of Christ, 77, the word church, 77 times, we know it's related to the number seven. We also know that the spirit we have is related to the number seven. We also know that Christ is related to that number seven. He's got seven horns. Samson had seven locks. So that number seven abides with all of that. And it, as it abides with the Word of God. Word of God, 49 times, 7 times 7. Message, 7 times. Flip it over. We know there is a collective body of people in this world. Their real secret name, you want to know what it is? Lost people. That's their real secret name. They're lost. They're not saved. So they're lost. There's a void of the Holy Spirit in them, a void that is easily and quickly filled by evil spirits. As you're reading your Bible, the Holy Ghost is talking to you, filling your mind with illumination. You being enlightened by the Spirit, by the very author who wrote the book, he's teaching you and telling you by drawing in other passages of Scripture. That's what's going on. Turn it over. Jesus told us, that which I speak to you in your ear, you proclaim from the rooftop. In other words, there is no secret doctrine in Christianity. There is no secret, sacred, hidden word that can only be come about by gematria, or it's veiled inside the meanings of these Hebrew letters. And see how this looks like a bull? That must mean that God is like a bull. See, that's what they teach with the Hebrew letters. When you have the revealed Word of God, Jesus Christ, if you turn it upside down, you have a hidden or lost word. That is the central teaching behind Freemasonry, at the foundation of Freemasonry. Because Hiram Abiff was killed with a wound to his neck, a wound to his left breast, Dealey Plaza, a wound to his head, Dealey Plaza, fence shooter. I stood at that fence at Dealey Plaza. Okay? I stood there and I went, I can make this shot. Shh. Give me a break. Okay? Where was I going? Where was I doing? I was chasing a rabbit here somewhere. Anyway, There is the central teaching of Freemasonry is that when they killed, that's where it was, when they killed Hiram Abiff, Hiram Abiff took with him the secret of building temples. It's sort of, think of like people who work in different trades. There's, you know, my father-in-law used to say there's a trick to every trade. Learning the trick makes you better at the trade. Stonemasons, particularly, and they're building these Gothic cathedrals and these castles and everything else. There was only one group of people in the whole world who could build a stone arch and make it work and make it last for thousands of years, and that was these stonemasons. And nobody could figure out how they got these humongous stones on these castles fitted into certain place without damaging the stone. And they had a little trick called a Lewis key. They would notch out a little thing in the top of the stone. They would stick down these three metal things that apart, they don't do anything. When you put them down there and they all hook together, then you can lift that stone up by a rope and set it right down in place. All you have to do is pull the pin and take the parts of the Lewis key out and you've got it. So they had a secret. And so Hiram Abiff, when he was killed, he took with him the secret. The word, the message, and it's called the lost word. Dan Brown, his whole book, The Lost Symbol, was about that. It was about this lost, hidden word. And the symbolism that Brown used was, here's this big giant obelisk, think Dealey Plaza, and at the base of it, under the ground, there's a stone, a cornerstone. And it's buried underground, and inside of that is, guess what? A Bible with a square and compass on it. The idea is that buried, hidden, occulted, underground, in a pit, in its secret chamber. A lot of the mystery cults that have initiations in caves. Why? Because it was all about rebirth. Like the 33 miners. Do you understand that? They come, they rise, they're in a cave. They rise like the phoenix out of the cave. When you have the lost word, it's hidden. It's a secret. Some say that there are people on this earth that know it. I don't know that. What I know is what that lost word is. If Jesus is the revealed, the last book of the Bible is what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Second Thessalonians, Paul says, then shall that wicked be what? Revealed. He's not been revealed yet. He's buried. He is the lost word hidden. And seven is his number. Why? Seven heads, seven devils, seven abominations. God speaks in thunders, the word thunder, seven times in the Bible. Thunder, the voice of God. Let's see. Oh, I love this one. The name Jesus. Now, I got to qualify this. I got to show you what I did. If I type in the name Jesus, I'll go ahead and click Old Testament, but it's not there. You have nine. What? Something don't look right. 900 and... Something don't look right. What in the world? I'm missing seven Jesus. I'm missing like 10 Jesuses. Where did I go wrong? I listen, trust me. Well, don't trust me. It's in there. Donna, help me out here. What am I missing here? Let me pull my software back up. Let's see here. Jesus, 973 times. Do that. No, that doesn't do it either. I'm at a loss here. I know it's 980 times. This is live stuff here, people. Anyway, follow with me here. It is in there. There's a glitch or something like that I'm not getting right. Cause I used to use QuickVerse 3.0 and it gave me the counts. That's what this software is based on. And the count of the name Jesus was 983 times. And believe me, people, I checked it, double-checked it, triple-checked it, go back and look at it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. People, other people verified, oh, Pastor, I found Jesus 983 times in the Bible. Why is it you say it's 980 times? There are three occurrences of the name Jesus where it's not talking about our Jesus. It's referring to like Joshua, the Old Testament, or so on. But there's three occurrences of that, which leaves 980 occurrences of our Jesus, which is 70 times 7 times 2. Now, here's what I get out of that. 70 times 7 times 2, you have forgiveness of sins, 70 times 7. Lord, how often shall we forgive our brethren? Till 70 times? No, till 7 times? No, till 70 times 7. So 70 times 7, the forgiveness of sins, the 70 weeks in Daniel 9 are all, there's seven things that God's going to do, and all seven of them have to do with forgiving Israel of her sins. So the brethren that Jesus was speaking of were his brethren Israel. And he came the first time to heal them and to forgive their sins. But they didn't want it. But he's not done. He's coming again, and he's going to forgive the sins of his people Israel. 70 times 7 times 2. So here's Jesus in the midst of the seven candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man. The phrase, Son of Man. 196 times, King James Bible. 49 times 4. Exactly. 7 times 7 times 4. We're not done. Who is this Son of Man? The Bible asks. His name is Jesus Christ. Son of Man is mentioned 196 times. The phrase Jesus Christ 196 times. Exactly. Exactly. 7 times 7 times 4. This is one of the things that I found. If you remember, when I started looking at this, I typed in the phrase Word of God, and it came up 49 times. And it took me a while, because you know how you have these gaps in your learning from elementary school. Well, I knew my ones and my twos and my threes and my fours and my fives and my sixes pretty good on my multiplication tables, but my sevens, eights, and nines, I got sick, and I was out for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. And when I come back, I'm having to catch up with everybody. And I didn't have those drills, those multiplication drills we used to do in school. And the sevens and the eights were kind of hard for me. And I looked at 49, and I'm going, that ain't no number. That ain't nothing. And then I went, wait a minute, that's 7 times 7. And that was the phrase, Word of God. And I went, I wonder if there's other patterns. So I typed in the phrase Jesus Christ. It's 196 times. And what I did was I got a calculator out. I divided it by 2. And then I divided it by 2 again. And then I realized it was divisible by 7. And that gave me 7 times 7 times 4. Jesus Christ, Son of Man. Both 196 times exactly, Word of God 49 times, 7 times 7. And then we're going to take it up a notch. This phrase, beloved son, beloved son, beloved son, beloved son, 7 times. Proverbs 1:23, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. See, now think about it. Take what we've learned so far now, and let's... I'm going to switch here in a little bit, but I want to make this application so you know where we're going. When you and I have the Spirit of God in us, there'd be seven spirits. If you'll pray and ask God to show you things out of this Bible, he swore, you go read this verse, he swore, I will make my words known unto you. call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Now, again, I spent several hours this morning studying yoga. I want to show you something, okay? You've heard me mention the Kabbalah, right? Okay? And the Kabbalah, as far as religious ideas, it's like the hardest stuff in the world to understand is the Kabbalah. Let me show you yoga. Okay? Let me show you this. See that? See that gal right there? Okay? If you're going to tell me that the way that I can make a connection with God Almighty is to wad myself up like a pretzel, you're crazy. You're insane. If you think that you're going to try to talk me into flipping my legs back behind my head, twisting my arms back around, that basically I'm going to end up kissing my own behind here. If you tell me, well, this is the only way to God, this is the only way to the universal consciousness, forget it. I can't do it. And they tell you, oh, no, you can't do it the first time. You've got to really work at it. You've got to have a trained instructor. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like these clowns who are telling you about the sacred name, or they're telling you about doing spiritual warfare, or they're telling you about this new prayer that you can do. It takes a while to learn it, called contemplative prayer. Let me tell you something. Any kind of prayer or religious devotion practice that someone says you'll never get it right the first 50 times you do it, that is not Bible Christianity. Isn't it easier to bow your head and say, God, I really need help today? You're done. That's it. God, I really need you to forgive my sins. Because I was reading about the Gangrene River in India. The devotees to the Hindu religion say that they must go to the Gangrene River, which is like one of the nastiest, filthiest bodies of water in the world, and wash themselves, because that washes their sins away. It's a sacred river. Washes all their sins away. It's much easier to say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Shoot. I did that while I was being electrocuted under my house. Okay? It's the easiest thing in the world to do. And I did it. And God heard me. And God answered me. See, you want to go after all this, even that stuff that's crept into the churches, you know, like with the sacred name and with they have these spiritual warfare training seminars that teach you how to do spiritual warfare, how to do this. What's wrong with just going, God, get them off of me, help? See, that works. That works. And but these people would tell, oh no, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. It takes a lot of practice. This prayer thing takes a lot of practice. You got to really get it before you start hearing that voice now on the inside of you whispering to you. It's just easier to read your Bible and pray and ask God for things. That's how easy this is. It is the simplicity in Christ. And Paul warned us, don't let anybody take that away from you. But sure enough, people have rejected the simplicity of Christ for wadding themselves up like a pretzel. Okay? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you and make known my words unto you. My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in thy mouth. Look at that. The Spirit of God, 26 times. Spirit of Christ, 2 times. Total, 28 times. 7 times 4. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And see, then again, you have a lot of these churches going, oh, you got to do this to get the Spirit in. You got to do this, and we do this, and you have to pull this in. We have to do, we have to chant this, and we have to run around the church, and we have to do all these things. We have to, Beth Moore, video on YouTube of her facing, telling everybody, now you people over here face west, you people are face east, you guys face south, you guys face north, and what we're going to do is we're going to call God in from the four, yeah. Why don't we just bow our head and pray and just ask God for things? Why can't we just do that and ask God to give us of His Spirit? Oh, that's, well, if it was that simple, then I wouldn't get, this is Beth Moore and all these people, I wouldn't get paid near as much as what I'm getting paid for this. Are you kidding me? They're getting me $5,000 to come over here and tell you guys to do this. If it was as easy as just praying, then I'd have to be a keeper at home and be silent in the churches. Let's do this. Let's change. Let's go back to Dealey Plaza here, okay? Never done until the guy, who was it, sent that email? Gus. Thank you, Gus. Didn't even register. I've just been thinking about getting ready for homecoming. 7-7, this guy in Dallas, in the same area, JFK. Highway 77. London bombings, 7-7. The Pentagon. The Pentagon is 77 feet tall. The official story is that Flight 77 flew into a 77-foot-tall building called the Pentagon. The groundbreaking ceremony when they were building the Pentagon, September 11th. See, these spirits, the reason why I didn't want to study numbers in the Bible was because of occult numerology. Numerology is divination. It is spirits or devils work by way of numbers. Well, I don't believe that. That ain't in the Bible. Go read Revelation 9. It is ordained that when the fifth trumpet sounds, not the fourth, not the sixth, not the third, when the fifth trumpet sounds, a star falls from heaven and these locusts come out. By the way, yoga has what they call there's the eightfold path of Buddhism, and yoga has these eight limbs that they teach about that you must master in yoga in order to be pronounced a yogi. Eight limbs. And I got to thinking, I wonder what creatures have eight legs. Scorpions do. That's Revelation 9. Anyway, 7-7, July 7th, on this day in this place, this guy committed an abomination to God by shedding innocent blood. Okay? That's what happened. Now, I have not looked any further into this than that. Okay? I'll be digging. You do some digging. Okay? But to me, that spells something that's not right. Speaking of yoga, one of their gods is Vishnu. Vishnu is protected by Vishnu and Buddha. Is protected by a serpent with a beast with seven heads. What do you see? Do you see a spirit now that's Buddha had a spirit in him? What spirit was that? The spirit of the Antichrist. Okay? Vishnu, that's his spirit. Buddha, that's his spirit. Anybody practicing yoga, that's your spirit. It's not the whole, you can't say, well, but I say Jesus when I do my yoga. I worship God. I'm connecting with God when I do yoga. Listen, you want to reach God? You have to go through one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. You cannot connect with God outside of Christ being the mediator. And there is no such doctrine in the Bible anywhere that says, thou shalt wrap thy ankles around the back of thy neck in order to reach Jesus. Once you do that, then you can reach Jesus. You just go ahead, make a little pretzel twist out of your body, you can reach Jesus. And I'm just, when I see this, when I see this spirit, Buddha, Eastern mysticism, the occult, when I see that spirit and I see this event on this day, I know it was that spirit because that's how they operate. Oh, you remember Patty Hearst, Symbionese Liberation Army. Their logo was a Kundalini serpent that had seven heads in it. What spirit was that? Here's what Manly Hall said. The seven-headed snake represents the supreme deity manifesting through his Elohim, or seven spirits by whose aid he established his universe. You want me to tell you something that I know that Jim Staley and Rob Skiba and all these other Hebrew roots advocates, you know what I know that they believe? They believe that Jesus, see, if you read these sacred name Bibles, they go to great lengths to take out words, offensive words such as God, Lord. So John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Elohim, and Elohim was the Word. See, they change it. Because in our thinking, God is Elohim, and Elohim is God. But in the Hebrew roots thinking, God, the word God, is a pagan name ascribed to Baal. And these evil King James translators put these Baal names in their Bible. And what they're telling you is the word was hidden and it was secret and lost, and we have restored the lost word now by putting the sacred name back into the Bible. See, it's the same religion, people. Just a song they sing. Same religion. That which was is that which shall be. No new thing under the sun, Solomon said. So when they call Jesus the Elohim, you think they're calling him God. They're not. Because in the Hebrew roots mindset, the idea of Elohim is it's not God. And they don't believe the Holy Spirit is God either. The Holy Spirit is a sort of an emanating conscious wave or some kind of nonsense like that, that emanates from God. But the Holy Spirit is not God. They don't believe that at all. They trick you with their little Hebrew words to make you think that they're doctrinally correct along with, you know, sacred religious orthodoxy. But they don't believe it. They reduce Jesus and they reduce the Holy Spirit. You can't do that. So look at the similarity here. The seven-headed snake represents the supreme deity through his Elohim, or seven spirits by whose aid he established his universe. They just called the snake God. So you see what I'm getting at here. God, who has seven spirits, his Holy Spirit. Jesus having the seven horns, which are the seven spirits of God, just like Isaiah prophesied of him. You take that and turn that upside down now. You don't have the seven spirits of God. You've got seven devils. You got seven heads on the beast. You got seven abominations. What is this symbolism? We'll tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. He's opposite. I want to tell you what I learned about yoga today. Okay? Because Shiva is light and darkness, is and is not. Okay? He's the universal contradiction. Ha yoga, if you've ever heard of that, hatha yoga, ha means sun, tha means moon. It's the universal contradiction. Sun, moon, light, darkness, greater light, lesser light. Sounds like masonry. Okay? But anyway, that's that religion. What is that symbolism? Why the seven heads? The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. That's the seven hills in Rome. Aventine Hill, Caelian Hill, Palatine Hill, Capitoline Hill. We have one of those in Washington, D.C., don't we? Esquiline Hill, Viminal Hill, Curianal Hill. Vatican over here, okay? Those are the seven hills of Rome. Seven continents. The seven continents. Okay, you could say, well, yeah, he rules over the people of the earth. Okay, the seven mountains are connected to seven kings, seven for completion. Hence, they encompass the entire earth. Total dominion. This is my own personal notes, by the way, as I'm doing the Watchmen broadcast. This is where the script came from. Look at it. Cue the music. Because in the word faith, Joel's army, new apostolic reformation, dominion theology movement, they're all reclaiming the seven mountains. And I'm just going, does this not tell you that the spirit that you're under is not God's spirit? It is Mystery Babylon the Great, who's sitting on the seven mountains. Does it just come out at you? But they're all about reclaiming the seven mountains, the seven mountain prophecy, unveiling the coming Elijah revelation. Look here, unveiling it. Why? That's what masonry says about the lost word. It's veiled, hidden, occulted, secreted, buried. We're going to lift the veil on this. Invading the seven mountains with intercession. And it's all about, we're going to claim the seven mountains of the world. It's a different spirit, people. Global Apostolic Network, 7M Coalition. Oh, look at this. I want you to look at this logo. I just spotted this. It's on my mind. See this green and this yellow and this red and this kind of a brown thing here? Okay. This is earth and air and fire and water. It's the four elements of witchcraft. And who is Jezebel? She's the mistress of witchcrafts. That's Mystery Babylon the Great. She's going to sit on those seven mountains, the seven heads of the beast. Wagner leadership. Let's see here. Get through some of this. Oh, yeah. Rick Joyner, Bill Johnson, Todd Bentley, all about claiming the seven mountains. Here's Rick Joyner. Here's Rick Joyner accepting his Roman Catholic Vatican Knights of Malta membership. You know that? Did you know that Rick Joyner works under for the Vatican? He sure does. Where does that spirit emanate? It emanates from Rome. sort of like the central seat of authority for Mystery Babylon the Great, because that's where, I don't think she's limited to the Vatican. I think she's got her little harlot doll everywhere. But Rick Joyner works for the Vatican. Let's see here. Here's the seven spirits of God. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord, here's, let's count them. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Got to stop right here. You've heard me go through in various things I've done, Watchman broadcast, PMO, Bible studies, whatever, preaching, about the use of the word Lord in the King James Bible. Even the modern Bible scholars say, well, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the sacred name in Hebrew, you know, really that was like something they come up with like in the mid 1600s or the early 1500s, that they just decided to use Lord in place of the Tetragrammaton. The Hebrew roots people just get up in arms over the use of the word Lord in the King James, making big noise about how that was pagan and they wiped out God's real name, the Yod-Heh-Vah, and they didn't want anybody to learn it, so they took it out. And you've heard me show you in every Greek, I mean every Greek manuscript of the New Testament, even the stupid Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, every single time they quoted from the Old Testament where the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh was, they use the word Lord. What does that tell you? These people who want to take that out of their Bible, eliminate it completely, and they did. How can they have the Spirit of the Lord resting on them when they took that Spirit out of their Bible? See how it works? By the way, look at the language. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon them. When Jesus came up out of the water after being baptized by John, what happened? The Spirit in the form of a dove did what? Rested on him. Isn't that cool? That's number one. Spirit of the Lord is number one. Number two, the Spirit of wisdom. Number three, Spirit of understanding. Number four, the Spirit of counsel. Number five, the Spirit of might. Number six, the Spirit of knowledge. Number seven, and of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits right there, identified for you, named for you, so there'd be no contradiction amongst people, no disagreement among anybody about what the seven spirits are. That is what they are, and Jesus had them. That's what his seven horns represented, his seven eyes represented. That's what his word is. It is the Spirit of God, has the seven spirits in it. So then we take that and we go upside down with it. The opposite of that would be a different Lord. George Harrison singing, my sweet Lord, hallelujah, my sweet Lord, hallelujah. And then the background singers, Harrison's still going, my sweet Lord. Background singers are going, Hare Krishna. You never heard that? Go to YouTube and type in my George Harrison. Listen to it. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Guess what spirit George Harrison died with? A different Lord. By the way, Shiva is called the Lord of the dance, the destroyer. The opposite of a spirit of wisdom is foolishness. Their understanding, the third one, spirit of wisdom and understanding. These people have their understanding darkened. The spirit of counsel. The Bible talks about a wicked counselor. Spirit of might. They dwell in weakness. By the way, the law, Old Testament is weak. Okay? That's where, it doesn't matter if it's yoga, meditation, witchcraft, all the praise and worship services, doesn't matter what it is. It's all a form of performance-based getting things from a deity. In other words, if you don't do the performance right, you won't get what you're looking for from whatever God you're seeking after. Just like in yoga, if you don't wad yourself up like that, with your nose rubbing your backside, you won't get anything from the higher consciousness. And that's what the Old Testament is all about. It's all about doing, 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 doing. If you were to tell me, Mike, the way to reach God is through tying your legs up behind your head like that. I'm out. See ya. I'm done. Okay, because then I'd be in the hospital for 4 days in traction and pain relievers. Trust me. Okay, but it's ignorance is what it is. Telling people they have to do all these things when a lot of people can't do it. Weakness, ignorance, people destroyed for a lack of wisdom. Spirit of fear of the Lord. They have a spirit of fear in them. Here it is, the seven abominations. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hillary! Hands that shed innocent blood. There it is right there. It's the third one. And here's this guy. And from everybody's testimony that knew him, he comes back from Afghanistan. He is not the boy that his mom and daddy raised. It's not the same person. Something's in him. Something's eating him. Something's got him. He's got a spirit in him, people. And he goes out with that spirit and he sheds innocent blood. A heart that deviseth imagination. Let me show you this. This article about CRISPR, the genetic DNA editing system. As I'm reading through this article, this is Time Magazine. The Gene Machine. As I'm reading through this, I'm realizing just how right the Bible is. And I may talk about this Thursday. The Bible says that man is going to snare himself in his own inventions. Man is going to fall into the very trap that he dug, the very pit that he dug. Man's going to fall into the people who dug it are going to fall into it. The Bible teaches us that the imaginations of man and his inventions are going to snare him. And this heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, I absolutely believe that the innovations that are being made right now in biology, technology, quantum physics, quantum computing, all of that is being led by a spirit. Quantum computing, you've heard me talk about this. Quantum computing basically reaches into another universe, so that the electronic switch of the computer can be both on and off at the same time. Unfathomable by you and I. We cannot even think that way, and it's impossible to do it in this world. But with the beast that is not yet is, that's who he is. And his spirit is the one that is leading people to devise wicked imaginations. They said of this sniper that he did not just wake up that day and say, I must kill them. I must kill them. He didn't just, they said, it. They knew his stuff and they said, he has been writing about this and planning this out for a long time, because the police had a hard time finding out where he was. You know why? Because he shot and he would move. He would shoot again. Then he would move to a different location. Planned. This was part of his wicked imagination. Feet that be swift and running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among... Look at that. Look at that. That's your Hebrew roots. That's your Vatican agents. That is them taking human DNA and sowing different seed in it so that that child is not one of our brethren any longer. Cue the music on that one. That will get some music. And in case you haven't figured out, when I cue the music, that's a tea break for me because my mouth gets dry and I get thirsty talking to you for 2 hours. There's your seven heads right there. Your seven abominations. That's the spirit that likes to work on 77 or Highway 77 or on a building 77 feet tall. Or in a subway train on July 7th. Or any combination like that. Flight 77. And I have never, with knowing and understanding this, I've never been able to predict and say, now on such and such day and such time, I believe that this event will take place. Never been able to do that. I don't want to. But I was looking on 7-7. I was looking. And this stuff didn't happen until later. What was it? Like in the night, they were having their protests. Got it in on 7-7. And when the email came in, Gus, appreciate it. When the email came in, I looked at it and went, no way. Was that Thursday? Was that Thursday night? It just clicks now. I know what spirit was there. Now, again, witches, wizards, they all like certain days of the year. They like the equinoxes. They like the solstices. They like what's called the cross quarter days. They'll have the four main ones, the equinoxes and solstices, but then those are subdivided, like with May Day and Halloween, and some, I can't pronounce them, but anyway, I couldn't even begin to tell you what one of those days the Antichrist is going to be revealed on. I have no idea. But when something happens, and it happens on a such and such day, I can read my Bible and understand the spirit behind it, and I can go, this is that which was spoken by the prophets. Then I have understanding of it. Then I know this is how it happened. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. Who is his mother? When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. And he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Sympathy for the devil, the Rolling Stones, yeah. Manly Hall says it was held by the number of religion because man is controlled by, look at this. Look what Manly Hall put together. He went all of the mystery religions, all of the ancient religions, all of the philosophical ideologies everywhere, put them all together and said, I think we're all talking about the same thing. And he said the number seven was held to be the number of religion because man is controlled by seven celestial spirits whom it is proper for him to make offerings. Cue the music! You know what offerings are, don't you? Sacrifices. Sacrificing innocent blood, just like at an abortion clinic. Sacrificing innocent blood as an offering to the seven celestial beings. To enumerate those, or to name those, you got the sun, the moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Okay, those are the classic seven planets. You remember, do you remember what the word planet means? Where'd it come from? It came from, as all these people were looking up into the sky, and they knew that every year, at a certain time of the year, Orion would be here, and that the Big Dipper would be over there, and Polaris would be there, and Arcturus the Bear would be in this place at this particular time of the year. See, they knew that. It was just every year, like clock. It was clockwork. Think it's 12. Think of how our calendars and our clocks work. We have 12 months, and we have 12 numbers on our clock, okay? Anyway, but then they noticed that there was these stars that were not in the same place along with Arcturus and Orion and the Big Dipper and the Pleiades. And they noticed that they kind of, well, it was over here. And a few months later, it was over there. And then here's Venus. It comes up over here for a while, and then you don't see it, and then you look over here. That's in the morning, and then at night, it comes up over here at night, and you're just going, what in the world is going on with that thing? Why don't you be still? So they call them planets, because the Greek word planet means wandering stars. Oh, I got to cue the musical now. Because you know what Peter and Jude said about the false teachers the last days? They were wandering stars. They weren't, you couldn't count in the same place. It's like the mystery religions and the strange woman. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. So these seven celestial spirits, these seven planets, are the wanderers. And they are the spirits behind the false teachers and the false prophets. This is Paul telling us, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know what that means? You followed the stars. You did what the fates, the stars dictated to you. I'll never forget. We used to get, it's now once a week here in Jefferson County. At one time, I was a paper boy. No, I wasn't made of paper. I was a paper delivery boy in our neighborhood. And we used to get a paper called the Daily News Democrat. Now it's the Leader. And we used to get it every day. And I can remember it every day. I'd get home from school and I would get the Daily News Democrat and I would find the horoscope on there. I must have been probably, I don't know, 8, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around in there. And I'd look at it, and I knew that I was a Gemini. I was, because Gemini's in May. And I'd look at that, and I'd read the horoscope for the Gemini on that day. I'd read it. Oh. That really happened to me today. Oh my goodness. I did. I would just like, that's like, that happened to me today, man. How do they know that? Didn't occur to me that the horoscope I was reading was for the next day. Oh my goodness. Anyway, look at here. Mary Magdalene. Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Look at that, people. Look at your Bible. Your Bible is telling you what these seven wandering stars are, these seven planets, the seven heads of the beast, the seven abominations, seven devils. If there's a a God realm, there is a devil realm that is the mirror image of it. If God has his seven spirits and Jesus has his seven horns, then the beast is going to have seven heads. And they work by the numbers. They are the authors of occult numerology. They are the stars that are dictating people's lives. And by the way, think of what astrology is. Astrology is seeking to the stars for guidance and for who should marry, how you should conduct your business. Nancy, you remember Nancy Reagan? She was in the White House and she brought in this famous astrologer into the White House so the astrologer could tell Nancy Reagan how should conduct international affairs. You remember that? That made big news everywhere, and I'm going, that ain't good. These stars that the astrologers are looking to, what does the Bible say these stars are? Angels. Evil angels. The heavenly host, a third of them is going to be cast down to the earth in a great falling away one of these days. That's what the Bible's telling you, that these are spirits. And in all the ages gone by, it just seemed like everybody, every culture, every religion in the world, native to America, native to South America, Egypt, Africa, China, the North, you name it, they were worshiping seven spirits, seven gods, planets. They all had some form of that. You even see it in fairy tales like Snow White and seven dwarves. You know who the seven dwarves are? Seven dwarves are the seven planets. This is what Manly Hall said. The seven dwarves of that story are the seven planets who are digging into what did the seven dwarves do for a living? They were miners. They were cutting pickaxes. And there is an alchemy book I have. It's just shows you all this artwork from alchemy, and it shows these seven dwarves, an ancient alchemical writing, seven dwarves digging into the earth because there's the key to everlasting life is buried, hidden down into the ground, and the seven dwarves are the seven planets, the seven spirits that's going to pull it out and revive it. Think about it. In Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, the cartoon, Disney, right? 33rd Degree Mason, right? What is the witch holding in her hand? An Apple computer. Seven devils, seven planets, seven stars. Seven spirits, seven heads of the Antichrist. 7-7. It's all kind of making sense now, okay? The seven spirits God uses to bring about his judgment on the wicked and unbelieving. Behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill, favored and lean. Do you see that? Yes. After the 7 years of plenty, seven other kind, cattle, come up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. Oh, them guys were bad. Man, them were bad boys, man. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. Think of what spirits are coming into American churches. Think about it. American churches that were fat and happy during the 40s and 50s and 60s in this country. And then what's happening now? Seven bad spirits, seven bad cows coming in and destroying everything inside of our churches. Seven spirits tearing it all up, man. If you want the books, the DVDs, you want all that stuff, give us a call, write us an email, go to propheticresearchministry.com. There's an order form you can fill out. And again, please, pray about, help us out, helping us out. okay, with your order. We appreciate it. We never, never demand anybody to give anything. We don't charge for it, okay? But it does help us out. All right. Hey, I love you. Hope you've enjoyed it. We might talk about DNA on Thursday. Get ready. I love you. I've had a ball.